Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find
and
it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Purple and Gold Point After Show.
Yes,
Mike
sir.
Mike Dettelier, along with the legendary Herb Tyler. Wish he would have played some quarterback today. Maybe would have got us out of a hole or two. I know he can run, but
first of all, not the 37-year-old Herb Tyler that I am today.
I ain't talking about that. No, I'm talking about the 21-year-old.
Sure. Well, make sure you know you caught the 37-year-old. Okay?
Yeah. You're not getting away from any kind of heavy pressure. LSU taking it on the chin. 31-24. Be honest with you, Herb. The score was no indication of the dominance of Vanderbilt in this football game. LSU got outplayed, outcoached, outsmarted, out-schemed. Every out-hustled, every out that you could put on there, it was done today. And just a poor performance by the Tigers.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to take anything away from Vanderbilt.
No.
And Diego Pave was, as advertised, we've seen this so many times. But you'd have swore it's the first time LSU's defense played against Pave or played against a quarterback that's got movement skills, didn't have a spy on him at all. I think one time they tried, he outran the spy, and it was like, forget this, we ain't doing it. But, man, the offensive play calling, Herb. I'll bring up the defense first. You were a guy, you had movement skills, but, man, Pavia, he just finds a way to win. And they give him so much leeway in changing calls.
Yep.
Okay, you got a 4th-and-1. That play actually was he was supposed to keep it and run. And actually, he changed it. He messed it up because they actually got him on the play. But, man, they give him so much leeway offensively. And you can see why, because – he's going to make a mistake here and there.
Yeah,
boy, he makes a lot of good decisions.
You know, the thing about Pavia is the fact that he is a dog. And he makes plays when it's time to make plays. It doesn't matter what it is or the situation or what it looks like. He doesn't have to play within the framework of the offense. He can go outside of it. He can make plays with his feet or with his arm. And the biggest thing about him that I really enjoy watching when I see him play is the moxie that he plays with, is the confidence and the way he carries himself, in which you can see it translates to the other people on the field, the people on the sideline, the coaches, the people in the stands and everywhere else. You can see he has this confidence that's unmatched by anybody else that I've seen in college football this year. So far, and
Baker Mayfield of college football.
That's exactly what we talked about this morning. Yep. And the thing is, today he made the plays that counted, and LSU didn't. One of the things we talked about a little earlier before we got on was, you know, how LSU's defense has been flying around the ball, and they would be in the right positions, and they would make the tackles. Well, to me today, I didn't see that today, and I don't know if it was the 11 o'clock start. I don't know if it was overcomplicated defensive scheme that we went into this game with, but I wish we could have seen a better outing on defense. Now, here's the thing. The offense isn't helping by going three and out every other series and not making any kind of headway in sustaining drives. We had one long sustainable drive that we did and capped it off with a field goal. We can't kick field goals. You got to put touchdowns on the board. So, you know, and back to the defensive side of the ball, sure, Weeks was out of the game. The next man up's got to be able to play. Now, we understand that, you know, Gooden was out of the game as well, but his guys that was behind him played really well today. I thought they played an excellent game. However, I think not having Wick out there as that rah-rah guy, that high-energy guy, was a factor today. Now, would that have translated to us winning the ball game? I don't know.
I
will say that it would have probably translated to a few more plays that the defense probably would have made in this game. Now, I was disappointed in just the lack of enthusiasm on defense, and then the lack of physicality with tackles is what I saw. And then on top of that was them being out of place and of some sorts in some situations. But, you know, you got to tip your hat off to Vanderbilt and their offensive scheme and what they came in to do. You got to tip your hat off to Pavia. He is top notch. He is every bit of as advertised. And not just that, this guy knows how to make plays when it counts.
And I give Clark Lee, the coach, a lot of credit.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He squeezed every bit of the vitamin C out of the orange. And nothing left.
Nothing.
Once he's finished with it. And, Coach Jenkins, he sent me a text about it. He said, man, I love that Dracula line. Well, guess what? LSU looked like Dracula visited them overnight, too.
Yes.
But you could tell there wasn't a lot of oomph in them. Vanderbilt, man, they played with confidence. They played with a lot of energy. And once things got rolling, you could almost feel it that this was not going to be a good day for LSU.
No, I agree. I was watching the game, and I'm thinking to myself, the first drive LSU has, I think we drive down and we settle for a field goal. And I'm like, okay, this is not good. We got to score touchdowns. And then Vandy gets the ball, and they go down and they score a touchdown. And I'm like, okay, this is not good either, because the way we're playing, this is not indicative of this LSU defense that we've been used to over the past 5-6 games. And so I felt like, okay, this is kind of lethargic, and this is kind of not what you want. Mike said, we need to start fast. This ain't starting fast.
Nope.
And they didn't even finish fast. You know, the one thing I did see was that on the offensive side, you must showed a lot of emotion today. On the sideline, in the game, things like that. I could see that it's – I don't know if it's something starting to wear on him or if he's feeling a lot of pressure and he feels like he's not being successful.
Spot.
Yeah.
You know he's feeling the pressure.
He's feeling the pressure, and I get it, but he's just got to play the game. And Nuss played well. He played well enough for us to win the game. He didn't make any bad decisions. No interceptions. He was, 19 of 28 for 225 and two touchdowns. I thought he played very, very well. Now, something's going on there, though. I think that he's putting more pressure on himself than he needs to, but also we need to allow the defense not to put pressure on him, too, by blocking. And Tyree Adams, who went out of the game in the very first quarter, I think it was, that didn't help the offensive line either. So it was interesting to see that dynamic of Nussmeier really feeling. It looked like to me he was really emotional, not only on the sideline, but in the games.
They had a couple of big hits in the running game. Again, what LSU can't do well, short yardage.
Yeah.
You get down to the 1 yard line. Okay, you get stuff. Then you call a great play where
wonderful.
The receiver's wide open.
Wide open.
But then, okay, you got movement up front along the offensive line. So you get backed up. This is a continuous deal with this offensive line.
Yes.
That they are not a well-coached offensive line group, and they certainly ain't physical by any stretch of the imagination. The big runs by Durham – and also Harlan Berry, they were doing that a lot on their own.
That's right.
Making, something after first contact.
You know, that series you're talking about where the tight end jumped and we scored a touchdown and then it was called back because of that. What's the next play? right? In my mind, Coach Sloan has to have that next play in mind, ready to go. That's a similar play to what he ran, but it may look different, but it puts the offense in a much better spot. I didn't see, or I don't, and I have not seen any progression from our offense, including Coach Sloan, and when it comes to play calling. And I don't know how much of it is Coach Kelly holding him back or him just not being able to call the plays the way
they need to be called. Or a combination of both guys having different opinions on what to call. And you know what? That's Brian Kelly's baby.
Yeah, it is, 100%.
That's his baby.
Look, at the end of the day, it's college football. You need to be wide open. There's no – this is not like the NFL where everything is really, truly, you know, playing within the framework of what the game is. College football is all over the place. If you got athletes that can play the game, especially at quarterback, your best athlete should be at quarterback, period, in college football. That's what I've always said, because that person can get you out of – really bad situations and put you in really great ones at the end of the day. Now, when you got somebody that can't move and can't do all that stuff, that's what you see when you're looking at a bad offensive line or, you know, not so good offensive line, and the quarterback can't get out of his own way or out of their way, he can't make any plays. So, in my mind, you got to have a true athlete at quarterback that can play the position and also use his feet.
Okay, think about it. From game one and who you went up against, Peter Woods is probably, he's going to be a top 10 pick as defensive lineman at Clemson. T.J. Parker, most likely a top 15 pick.
Yep.
The transfer guy from Purdue they brought in, he's going to be an early round pick. Has this offense progressed from week one? For me, the answer is no. It has not progressed. Actually, maybe taking a step back.
I agree.
It's not as good.
Well, you know, we've talked about this all season ad nauseum, right? Is the playmakers that we have on offense. We're getting the ball to him. Like right now, like today was the best day for Tre'Davious Green. He showed exactly who he is and what we can do. The problem is you got so many other people out there that you can distribute the ball to and make plays, but we're not being creative enough, in my opinion, to get them the ball in open field so they can make moves and take the ball down the field.
Also, with Barry and Brown, you saw in the first half, they really tried to pump the football to him, and he made some plays. We spoke about it this morning. You got to find more throws in the direction of Tre'Davious Green. Okay, they threw the ball six times to him. He made five catches.
Yeah.
But for me, that's got to be more 8 to 9.
My thing is,
it ain't about plays anymore. It's about players. It's about playmakers and get the ball in the playmakers' hands. And, you know, I look at Sharp. Okay, you brought him in here to be another tight end that you could use over the middle. You know how many catches he had today? How many targets?
Squat.
Zero. Zero.
Squizito.
Nothing.
Yep. Nothing. Nothing. And to me, that's he's a kid that can play the game. And again, what is the reason why he didn't? Is it because Nuss didn't have enough time to get the ball to him, and maybe he was supposed to get the ball on a couple of plays or whatnot? But also, you know, when you look at Aaron Anderson, one catch, 18 yards. I forgot he was even on the team until the third quarter.
Catch.
That's right. I was like, what is he? Is he playing? I didn't realize that. So, and it looks like they're trying to play him and Kyle Parker at the same time. They're kind of rotating them now. And I think they found something in Kyle Parker, but maybe you put Kyle outside. Maybe you put him where Nick Anderson is, because maybe Nick's not doing what he's supposed to do. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you're right. We got to be able to get the balls to the players who can make the plays after the catch, and we got to find ways to be able to do it. Now, look, at the end of the day, is Coach Sloan trying to do that? Yes. But how is he trying to do that? Is he being held and held back by BK? Do they see a difference in play calling and style of offense, things like that? You know, they had a really decent run-pass balance today. The only problem is, so it was 28 passes and 21 rushes.
Yeah.
So the only problem you got with it is the fact that you got too many three and outs. So that's why it was balanced, because you had, what, four three and outs, I think it was, and that's not a good thing. So at the end of the day, we got to change that.
Crazy part about this game with Pavia, he was 14 of 22 for 160 yards, threw one touchdown. But he rushed the ball 17 times for 86 yards. We spoke about this morning. Pavia can't be the leading rusher. Guess what? Today he was
the leading rusher.
He was the leading rusher.
And he has been the leading rusher, and he still is a leading rusher for Vanderbilt football. So if you haven't seen or did your homework on that, you should have known that's what was going to happen. Now, his rushes are not coming from designed rushes.
It's impromptu stuff.
So you got to be able to spy him, or you got to be able to get to him some sort of way. But you cannot. The one thing you cannot do is allow him to get outside of contain or create lanes for him to run up the middle.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Purple and Gold Point After Show. Hey, Herb and I we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit. Got great food and drink specials, and had a rough evening, rough early morning watching LSU. This will help you out. Come on down. Acme Oyster House. They'll help you. Food and drink specials. We'll be back right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contract. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Purple and Gold Point After Show. I want to thank also to our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Bill Beyond.
Bill Beyond, baby.
And we at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials. You can watch all the games as we watch in Georgia and Ole Miss at the present time. And they got a whole bunch of other games you like to watch. Alabama and Tennessee will be coming up real soon. And so come on down and, hey, got good, great food and drink specials here. And if you need any kind of catering, Acme Oyster House can help you out there. Let's go to our telephone lines, and you can give us a call at 504-260-1870. Let's go to Brent and Bell Chase. Brent, in a huddle with Mike and Herb.
Hey, Mike. Joe Sloan's got to go. So in the third quarter, we run a great play for a two-point conversion, where we put Green in motion and run them on a slant. Now, they come back and score a touchdown. We get the ball back on the very next drive, and we have third and six at the goal line, and that fool runs the same play.
That's he did.
Yeah,
I remember
exactly.
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is peewee football. You can't do that. Do we? How is he coaching at LSU when he's running the same play on the next drive? And then at the end of the game, you get the ball twice down and you get negative 10 yards. It's a joke. So if Brent, that much and that's why he's there, then both of them have to go.
I really believe this. Brent, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Brent.
But I think what you bring up is a valid point.
Yes.
How much input here is going on between Brian Kelly and his side of the ball is on offense. As a play caller, you see him constantly looking at that sheet, trying to make play calls along with Joe Sloan. But this is Joe Sloan's sort of deal here. Okay, you put him in that spot.
Yeah.
Him and Cortez Hankton, I get it, co-offensive coordinators. But really, Cortez is more of the passing coordinator.
Yeah, but
he's
what does
not
that mean,
calling
though?
Plays.
What does that mean, though? Right?
The he's working with the receivers and the tight ends.
But that's just working with him. But he ain't calling no plays.
No, he
though.
Ain't calling no plays.
That's right.
This is a Joe Sloan, Brian Kelly issue here.
Yeah.
And Brian's the boss.
Yes.
And so Joe is doing what Brian Kelly wants him to do.
And exactly what Britt said is what I was saying earlier. What's next? Why are we calling the same play? It's just flip the field.
You're right.
The same thing. Why are we doing that? They've already seen this. It worked one time, and it barely worked that one time because the safety was screaming down.
Yes, he was.
At Tre'Davious Green, and he just made a great catch. And so at that point, what is the next play? What is the next creative way to get Tre'Davious the ball or to get – you know, Anderson the ball, or Parker, whoever it is, the football, how about we use our running backs in the screen game a little bit? How about we do that? I'm yet to see a running back screen play yet, or even a tight end middle screen or something like that. So, you know, there's some things that I think we're leaving on the table offensively when it comes to creativity that I don't see. And I'm going to tell you another thing that's a little bit difficult pill to swallow for me is these elongated cross the field throws that are like, you know, 5 yards down the field, but the ball travels 45 yards. It's like, what are we doing with this? This is too slow dragging out of a play. If you're trying to get the ball out quickly to somebody and one of these guys, get it out quickly. This is not it. This is not going to be a successful deal. So we need to figure that out really quickly.
And very, very quickly. And here's another thing. If your offensive line was good, I wouldn't have issue with some of that. But your offensive line is not.
Yeah.
They're not a good unit at all. They're not physical in the running game. And,
well,
man, anything past, like Bobby always say, 1,001.
Yeah.
1,000. Oh, watch out.
Watch out. That's right.
Before you get the two out, man, they got people in their face and putting pressure on Nussmeier, who's not the most mobile guy in the world, certainly. And that's not his fault.
No.
Okay? But you better fix your offensive line issues.
Well,
but I get what Brent's saying about the play calling. But, man, if you had a really good offensive line, the play calling, all that sort of works together. You're not good up front, Herb.
Well,
bottom line, you're not good.
If that's the case, if we're going to say they're not good up front, and so what do you do as a play caller? You have to adjust your play call. You
yes.
have to figure out what they are good at. And how do you complement that with the play call? And so that's a part of that. Which one is it? Is it BK? Is it Coach Sloan? Is it the way that they want to run their offense, but they can't because they don't have what they think they need? You know, so it's a combination of all kinds of things. But is anyone doing something about it? That's the thing. And I know, don't get me wrong, I know they're not going back to the office and they're looking at the film and they're like, yeah, we're not going to do anything else. We're just going to keep doing what we're doing. No, they're trying to do something. They want to change. They want to do whatever. But apparently it's not translating from the practice field to the football field game day.
Herb, how much can you change an offense midstream here?
I don't think it's changing the offense. It's just tweaking it. It's you have a certain number of really quick hitting plays. You got a certain number of plays from the hash to the sideline. You got a certain number of plays from the inside the hashes. You got a certain number of plays of intermediate routes and then deep routes, things like that. Let's stay within 6 to 8 yards into the line of scrimmage to get the ball out really quickly, and let's cause some confusion by doing what? You can maybe do motion. You can do the change up in formation and the way that you create the formation. Just anything. I'm not asking them to change the offense completely. I'm just saying tweak it a little bit with some things that can cause a little bit of confusion on the backside as far as the defense is concerned.
I know this is simplicity here, but Vanderbilt wins this game because when they got, you know, past the 40-yard line, they scored touchdowns.
That's right. And
LSU was settling for field goal
or
field goal attempts.
Or three and out.
Exactly.
So we missed what? How many field goals did we miss?
Missed
one field goal, right? And then how many three and outs we had? I don't even remember how many we had. But
had
one
at the end, for those two last series,
yeah,
man, that was bad.
Yeah, that was the point where I said, okay, You heard it here second, because somebody else has already said it. I mean, BK is on the hot seat, in my opinion. Like, it may not be like today or tomorrow type of thing, but that was bad. What you said is exactly it. It was like, what are we doing here? This is not any indication of progression. This is not any indication of we have our stuff together and we've coached these guys to a point to where they can be successful in a situation like this. And it was not a hostile environment there. There were more LSU fans than
exactly.
there were Commodore fans. So in my mind, I'm like, we should be moving this ball down the field and making things happen. So I have to say it might be a confidence thing, but then again, I don't see that the guys aren't confident. I just think they're not being put in the right situation.
One of the things in getting in touch with Coach Jenkins, who we had this morning in our pregame show, was he was like, Mike, when Penn State fired James Franklin, that sort of put a chill down the spine of any coach who thinks because I got this long-term deal, they won't get rid of me. Because look what Franklin had on the table. And he said, really, it should have come up. I said, you know, a lot of people, Texas A&M got money. They can pay off Jimbo that $60 or $70 million, whatever. Now he says that's two. That should be the ultimate kind of shiver down the spine that, hey, you're not getting all this time to rebuild. You better win and win now. And he said, listen, I'm not pointing that finger in any direction, but I'm just putting it at general, all coaches,
everyone,
that you shouldn't be concerned that, oh, I got this long-term deal, they're not going to get rid of me. Look what's happened already. And people with money or companies with money who back you, now they got a lot of Jerry Jones of the world
right
in college football today that never was there before.
And with James Franklin's situation, they were literally just in the playoffs last year.
One game away.
Two minutes away. You know, they were literally right there. And so, and now he's, what, five games into this next season, and he's gone. Is it fair? No. Is it right? No. But this is the decisions that they make. They was probably having this conversation since game one. This is not a knee-jerk reaction decision. So I guarantee you that there's people who will make decisions and who can afford to write checks for people to go home. They're having conversations everywhere right now. And so when we talk about LSU and what happened today, it solidifies what is going to be Brian Kelly's legacy at LSU. Is it that he came here and took over a team where people say that the cupboards were bare? Replenished the cupboards, but he didn't develop the players. But he did not progress each year from year in and year out. We have not seen any progression this year. Even with the defense, they kind of regressed today, right? They went backwards today. So, how can we get back to the script of playing really good, strong, fast defense, making tackles, creating turnovers, and then on the flip side of that, how can we get the offense to keep going? I don't know if it's possible right now.
I don't know that you can just flip it.
I don't think
so. Okay, Texas A&M comes to town.
Yeah. They're playing well, too.
Mike Elko's got that team playing really good football.
Now, the only good thing LSU has going for them is it's going to be a Saturday night in Death Valley. But what does that really mean, right? At the end of the day, does that mean that people are afraid to come to Death Valley and play us? No, I don't know if they aren't anymore because I just don't know if they're afraid of this team. It's two different things, right?
Two totally different things.
Yeah.
Totally, totally different situations here. And if you look across the SEC and look what's happening at Auburn with Hugh Freeze.
Yep.
Look what's happening at Florida with Billy Napier.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, what Coach Jenkins said is absolutely true.
Yep.
It should send a shiver down your spine if you think, I got time to take this and turn it around.
No.
You ain't got no time no more.
The time is now, as they say.
we live in the microwave society. I want success now.
That's right. There's no better time than the present. And this is because they've already shelled out X amount of monies. And this is supposed to happen, right? And especially at LSU, this was supposed to be the year. It was supposed to be Brian Kelly's year. So now you're two games down, right? You still got an opportunity to do some special stuff, I think.
If you could run the table. But, man, the thing
is. But that's so hard to run the table.
But that's hard to do anytime.
Yeah, I agree.
In any situation. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Purple and Gold Point After Show. Herb Tyler along with myself here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by. Got great food and drink specials here at Acme Oyster House. We'll be back with more of our post-game show right after this break.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post-game show. LSU on the short side of the stick against Vanderbilt. And, man, people are restless. That's all I can tell you at this point.
Yes.
Tulane today, man, caught up with an Army team. And I don't know if Army got that number or what. Tulane did win the game 24-17. It took two touchdown passes in the final couple minutes from Jake Ratzlaff.
Yep.
One to Bryce Bohannon, another one to a guy I saw play a lot of football at St. James, Jazz Preston.
Yep.
Comes up with two touchdown catches, 24-17 to improve Tulane's record to 6-1, and a 3-1 in the American Conference. And big news in baseball on both ways, because this is being reported by The Athletic and On3 Sports that the University of Tennessee head baseball coach Tony Vitale is close to a deal to become the new manager of the San Francisco Giants. You talk about a game-changing move in the SEC in baseball. Yeah. If that goes through, that is a game changer. Nobody really thought Tony V would leave
right
to go to the majors. Maybe another college team, which paid him a boatload of money, but to go to the major leagues. So it looks as though Tony Vitale will leave University of Tennessee, and they're in drills now. Yep. To start the 2026 season.
Yeah, it's a very odd time for him to leave right now. But, you know, when the money comes knocking and they drop off the little duffel bag, it's time to go. I get it.
I don't even need to count it.
No. He got the best agent I've heard of in a while now. That's
he
all
sure
I can tell
does.
You. His
he
agent
sure
knows
does.
What he's doing. So, that's good. But that's good for him and his family. And maybe he wanted to test the waters of the majors and see what that looks like, because he's been at Tennessee forever. So,
and if it doesn't work out,
he can always go back.
I can go back and I'll make another boatload of money
at
in college baseball.
Institution, because wherever he goes, he knows how the formula to build the baseball team up and get the players in there. And he knows what it takes to win championships. So that's good. Now, the first story you talked about was Tulane. So now it sounds like Tulane's the best college football team in the state of Louisiana right now.
Well, that record shows that. Hey, what Parcells used to say, you are what your record says.
Yes, it.
And you 6-1 right now.
Yes.
With about 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Man, if you took the over in this game, which, man, we had a couple people, one of the guys from BetMGM says, man, I don't like the game because there's a lot of points involved, but take the over. Ole Miss 28,
yep.
Georgia 26. And with 10 minutes left in the third quarter, it has been up and down the field for both offenses. If you love offensive football, then you would really love this game. If you love defense, you don't even want to watch it.
No.
Because it's not really been too good on either side. And we spoke about this for so long that, you know, when you lose that many players early to the NFL like Georgia has, your defense, which was Kirby's bread and butter, I mean, that's his babe.
Yeah.
It don't look the same, Herb. That's all I can tell you.
No, and you know, and the way of college football is today, every other team can go out and pay and get players in that are just as good. So the combination of losing the players to the NFL and also not getting those players that they normally would get that are going to other schools, It doesn't. It's not a good formula for Kirby. But ultimately, what it's doing is it's taking college football here, right here, leveling the whole field. And so you saw it today in a Vandy, you know, beating LSU in the way that they did. They beat them. It wasn't even close. And then you see what Texas Tech is doing. You see what you know, these schools that people would once call, you know, kind of third world schools.
The blue bloods are finding out,
right?
That blood change.
Yes, it does.
The blood transfusion's not quite the same.
No, it ain't the same. And so you got to be able to coach. You got to be able to keep the players that you have, and you got to be able to go in that transfer portal and pull players from year to year, so you can have a great team each year. It's not going to be you're going to have these guys for 4 or 5 years. You're going to have a couple guys for 2 years, and that's it, maybe 1 year. But you have to go in the transfer portal and get the pieces you need in order to substitute for the pieces that you're losing.
In an El Lazio performance last week, but Oklahoma bounced back 26-7 over South Carolina and actually left some points up on the board. Georgia Tech. With a big win over Duke, 27-18. And guess what Georgia Tech's record is now?
6-0.
7-0 now.
There you
How
go.
About that? The Ramblin' Rex
from Georgia Tech, baby. My daughter would be happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know at least one of your kids will be real happy about that. Michigan, too, gets to win 5, 24-7. And there were some rumblings in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
About Coach Moore, is he the right guy? But, man, listen, I watched Washington play. They had an explosive offensive team.
Yeah.
They got held to 7 points today.
Well, you know, it goes back to that no coach is safe, right?
None.
At the end of the day. And then Coach Moore, this is his second year, I think? And, you know, he's got a true freshman starting that quarterback that's going to be phenomenal. And
Bryce Underwood.
Yes.
Probably came very close to being an LSU tie.
He did, but the money talked, so he had to walk. I understand.
I understand that perfectly.
Yes.
Also, too, this is in the second quarter, if Bobby's listening, a couple years. Southeast Louisiana 14, Northwestern 0. And the Raging Cajuns, University of Louisiana, 7-0 lead over Southern Miss. Man, Coach Huff's done a great job there. They 4-2 Southern Miss.
Yeah.
Entering this game, man, he's got it rolling. And Florida with a 13-7 lead. It's almost halftime over Mississippi State.
They need to win.
And that's a lot of rumblings
they need
in
to win.
Gainesville about what's happening there. And so, man, everybody's under the gun.
Everybody.
Everyone.
But here's the thing. College football is making everybody under the gun with the way that it's leveling the field. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing. I like it. I honestly like it. Because now
I think it's more interesting today.
Yes.
Because a lot of people, name, image, likes, transfer rules.
Yeah.
It's going to kill the sport.
No.
It's made it more interesting today than any other time in my lifetime. And I'm 65 years old.
Yep. So you don't have those teams that's just going to dominate, you know, week in and week out, unless you're Ohio State right now. But outside of that, you know, you're not going to have it. You're going to have the playing field is going to be leveled, and it's going to be competition week in and week out.
Tulane will keep a close watch on this. UAB, a 2-4 football team, at halftime have a 17-14 lead over Memphis.
Uh-oh.
Who is undefeated. They 6-0 in the season, yeah. Memphis. And it goes to show, hey, if you don't bring your A game, somebody can catch you.
You know how it is.
Man.
Any given Sunday, or Saturday in this case.
In the third quarter, Ohio State, again, dominant on defense. 20-0 leading Wisconsin. And, boy, you talk about a coach who might have some issues there. It may well be Wisconsin. And SMU, 16-14 lead over Clemson in the third quarter. Clemson's playing without Cade Klubnik.
Yeah, I saw that.
Herb, hey, everybody got problems. LSU got them, but they got a lot of teams with problems.
They got problems across the board. Who's going to solve the problems first, and who's going to continue to, well, try to get the train back on the tracks?
Okay, because a lot of people tell me this. Look the money Brian Kelly's making, $10 million a year. He can't throw any assistant coach, any player. You got to fix it. That's why they're paying you that kind of money.
Well, it shouldn't be a problem in the first place if they're paying you that kind of money. I mean, what I mean by that is you got to be able to solve those problems in the offseason. We should not be having these problems in the mid-season at all. And here's the thing. When you're paying the coach like Brian Kelly the money that you're paying him, you want to see progression. You got to get better every year, every play, every week. You got to get better, and they're not doing that. And that's what I think the fans are really frustrated about.
In a crazy game, and I had a friend of mine who's got some cash on this. He took the over. TCU in the fourth quarter is fixing. They got a shot here to end it all against Baylor. It's 42-36. The over and under in that game was 66.
Ooh. And it's 42-36?
Yeah, and so it's 42-36. Yeah. So you got that covered.
You covered.
So it's no sweat. No. On that deal. But, man, TCU and Coach Dykes got them back on track. It kind of went off a little bit, but, man, they were able to get it back. Coach Aranda, he might be feeling it too at Baylor.
Of course he's feeling it. The Coach Sonny Dykes is one of the best.
Sonny's something.
He's something else, and I really like him. And he's going to have a team that's gonna compete every game, and that's all that matters for him. But I don't think he'll ever win the big one.
He had a shot.
I don't think he's going to see it again.
But he took a look in that game.
Yeah. But he's one of those coaches that I really enjoy watch coach. Because his players are always engaged. They're always playing hard. And they have a bunch of creativity on offense. And, you know, they don't have the size on defense, but they run around. They're flying around the ball. So I really like Coach Sonny Dykes a lot.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Purple and Gold Point After Show. Hey, you can give us a call. We got an hour more of the post-game show. You can give us a call. Give us your opinion on what happened today between LSU Vanderbilt at 504-260-1870. We're here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. Got great food and drink specials all night long. We'll be back to finish it up in hour number one of our post-game show right after this message. We're finishing up here in hour number one of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Purple and Gold post-game show. LSU taking it on the chin this afternoon, 31-24 to Vanderbilt, second loss of the season. And, again, a lot of repercussions. Got a lot of angry Tiger fans. I knew that from text and call. We got a lot of angry Tiger fans, and
yeah,
I get it
at
this stage, because now you look at that gauntlet that you got to go through with Texas A&M, with Alabama, with Oklahoma, still left on the schedule. Can you get to 8 wins?
You better get the 8 wins. You don't get the 8
you
wins.
You might not.
It's going to be an uprising.
All I'm telling you, Herb, we've seen teams sometimes react good to a loss. They get it together. And we've also in the past seen teams that they nosedive when things aren't going right.
Look, I think at the end of the day, the fans just want progression.
That's all you want. And you're not getting it.
No.
And so, hey, you got a legitimate squawk of what you saw today, that this football team and, man, player for player, come on, LSU got more talent on that team than Vanderbilt.
But we think they do.
And it wasn't working today.
No.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post-game show right after this news break on the Big 870 WWL. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post-game show. We're Mike Dottiglia along with Herb Tyler. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Got a lot of great food and drink specials here. And so if you want to watch some ball games that are playing right now, also get you a great meal, terrific drinks.
Yep.
And it's been one of those type days you might have to have a second. But drive responsibly because them roads is going to be wet by the time you leave here. We caught a downpour.
Uber.
Man, for like about 5 minutes, man,
it came down.
It really came down and then kind of ended real quickly. But looks like they'll have a front pass during the night, so be careful. But, hey, if you're in the neighborhood, stop on by at Acme Oyster House on Perkins Road. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. 31-24, LSU loses to Vanderbilt. You know what? We've talked about other guys and maybe winning the Heisman. And a lot of people think Mendoza from Indiana is going to end up with the trophy. After what I see with Pavia has done, how can he not be in the conversation?
No, he's got to be in the conversation.
Look, come on. He's got a couple NFL guys on that team. But when they need a play –
he's the one.
He's the guy, and you brought it up. His impromptu stuff is the scary part. We got everybody covered, everything's set, and then he takes off running. And if he sees you in man coverage and your back is turned, he takes off running.
That's what he's supposed to do. The thing about him is the sheer name of what the trophy represents, the Heisman, the very best player in college football. You could stick him on any team. And he'll still be the best player. He'll still be the guy to make plays when everything breaks down, and he's going to be the centerpiece of the energy, the atmosphere, the attention, the attitude, all of that for whatever team you put him on. I think that's how good he really is. Now, does that translate to
great pros?
Well, not necessarily that, but does it translate to great stats?
No.
It doesn't have to always, because what he does is win. And he's making the plays at the right time. Now, when you start talking about does it translate to the pros and things like that.
That's a different story.
Yeah, we're not quite sure we even want to have that conversation right now, right? Because we're talking college football and Heisman. I agree with you. He should definitely be in the conversation, if not in the race right now.
And we're seeing this now. Ole Miss with a 35-26 lead over Georgia. It's about a minute left in the third quarter. Another guy that should get some mention.
Chambliss.
Trinidad Chambliss.
Yep.
My goodness. From Ferris State taking over for once Isaiah went down to an injury. And what he's been able to do now. I have a good friend of mine, and he knows Lane really well. And he said, there ain't no lead safe on a Lane Kiffin coach defense. And he laughs about it, even the Lane about it. But there is some truth to that particular part. And, man, they've went up and down the field each offense. And it's as though Chargers driving again against Ole Miss's defense. And, again, the play here was always the over.
That's right. So you got two guys we talked about, Pavia and Chambliss.
Yep.
They both are from lower tier, FCS.
Yeah, New Mexico State, Ferris State.
Very small schools.
Yeah.
And here they are on the main stage showing what they can do. That's the thing about college football. That's the beauty of it.
Exactly.
It's such a beautiful thing. That's why I like the transfer portal. That's why I like the NIL. That's why I like the opportunities it gives these guys to play, you know, somewhere before if they're not highly recruited for whatever reason. But it goes to show you that size doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who you are coming out of high school. The only thing that matters is once you get your shot, can you take that shot and make it work, right? And take it to the house, shall I say.
Yeah, because when you look at this LSU team, this was supposed to be the year.
Yeah.
Year four.
Yeah.
You spent, man, what, $20 million in NIL money to revamp your defense. You brought in a couple offensive players in Sharp and Nick Anderson, a couple offensive linemen. But basically it was a rebuild on defense.
Correct.
That was the big thing. Blake Baker needed more talent along the defensive front and also in the secondary. And we've seen it for the most part. That has been successful.
Yes.
Now, not necessarily today, But for the most part, well, that has been successful. But again, when you got a guy that's part Houdini, he's going to make plays.
Well, you're right. He's going to make plays. Here's the thing. Again, the defense didn't play. The result of what the game was wasn't what we wanted. But there's things within the game that allow that to happen, such as too many three and outs, such as not being able to score touchdowns when you're in the red zone. You know, things like that. Those things matter. You know, it matters when you, at the end of the game, the defense did exactly what they were supposed to do. Get the ball back to the offense.
Late, they got it back. Not once.
Twice. Gave them the opportunity to go do what they need to do. You can't go three and out in those situations. You just can't do it. So, again, spend a lot of money on defense. Blessing in disguise was that, you know, the guy that said that Michigan didn't come, so we could utilize that money in multiple different ways. And so now what do you do next? Okay, so you got to be able to coach them up now. And I think they've done that on the defensive side. The offensive side, I think we're missing something. And I don't know what that something is.
When you're in a spot like this as a player, and you know that this team has more talent than what they've displayed, attitude becomes a big part of it. Because what you don't want is apathy on the team. You don't want that.
Yeah.
You want your attitude to be right. There's still a lot of season left. And there's still, because listen, there's going to be some crazy things happen down the stretch that might give you that opportunity, but you can't win all those games week to week. You got to do it week in, week out. Can't say, well, we can win the next four or we can win the next five. That doesn't work that way.
No.
You got to take that one game at a time. It is cliche, but it is true.
Well, they started out wearing the shirts that said 1-0.
Yeah.
Right? And it looks like that's going away.
They're ain't wearing the shirt no more.
They're not wearing the shirt no more. But you still got to be 1-0 every game.
Yeah.
Every week is that week, and that's the only week that matters at that point, especially in the way college football landscape is today. LSU has no right to say that they could just walk in the stadium and beat anybody. They don't have the right to say that. And so now you have to focus on all the execution, the technique, the delivery, the anything you can think of that's within the game of football that you have to do to be calculated in order to win the football game. And you can't let a guy like Pavia just kind of be Pavia.
He became the vortex of the tornado today.
Yep.
He became that guy. When he needed something, hey, I got it.
Look, we've been hearing about this guy, right?
And we've seen it enough that you know what he's going to do.
Exactly. So what do you do on defense? You got to figure something out.
Again, I always thought, we talked about it this morning, that would be a lot of spy play.
Or some spy play.
But that wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't.
It was not the case.
It wasn't even something.
That was.
It was like.
That I can remember,
two. I saw one.
Okay.
Maybe two, because I remember that was one where.
It looked to be. But I think that's a deception.
I think it was, yeah. I don't even think it was. I don't know what it was, but it didn't work either.
No.
Because both times they tried it, he got away. But I think, though, it's how do you do that spy? Because there was that one time that two backers that were spying them, and they both literally was so in tune to Pavia that the back came out of the backfield and made a huge play in the pass game. So it's like, okay, yeah, we kind of overdid it on this one, but we didn't do it enough on the other one. You know, so it's kind of, you know, you got to find the sweet spot.
And as entering the fourth quarter, the team LSU wore the 1-0 shirts about, they're getting beat by SMU today, 29-17. So, man,
nobody's
again,
safe.
No one is safe.
That's right.
From the vortex.
It's coming.
It's eventually going to hit you. And, man, you can see it, again, across the college football world. How did you feel about the running game today? Because we talked about the lack of a short yardage, power running game. But for the most part, they hit on some big plays, both Caden Durham and also Harlan Berry. I'd like to see them use Harlan coming out of the backfield more as a receiver.
Well, we talked about that. I haven't seen much
backs
coming out of the backfield at all, catching the football at all, zero of it, really. The only one they use is Juwan Johnson, but he's already lined up as a receiver and they're throwing these screen plays to him. You know, my thing about the running game today was it was much better today than than I've
seen it in others.
From the backs themselves.
Yeah.
Seeing the hole, hitting the hole, doing things like that, and being powerful, running the ball, and you know, making plays. But it can be better. It could be a lot better. We could, you know, we need to be better when we're down at the goal line so we can't have that option to run the football. But we also need to have the option of the quarterback running the football. And if we don't have that, I think ultimately for me, I think if you don't have that, that's the part that really hurts you as a team, because it doesn't allow for that one unaccounted person to be available to be free.
Texas A&M, who you play next week, Arkansas going through that coaching change.
Yep.
Bobby Petrino now in charge, but the Aggies with a 14-3 lead over Arkansas. You're wondering, I wondered a little bit if maybe the Aggies wouldn't kind of peek ahead to LSU.
I don't see them. I don't see why.
You know, because in this spot, I mean, Arkansas, you don't know really what you're going to get out of
right.
them with a new coach, and how some of the veteran players who really control the locker room,
yep.
how that's going to settle in. But, again, it's in the second quarter, 14-3. Texas A&M over Arkansas, and this is a wild affair as we watch it here. Ole Miss with a 35-32 as Georgia has just scored another touchdown, and they're up for the extra point. But, again,
yeah.
I think 68. You see the wildness all across college football. And if you love the yin and the yang
yeah.
of college football, this is ideal time to watch.
The unpredictable.
Yeah.
Every week is you never know what you're going to get. And that's I like that. That's what college football is supposed to be about, right?
Now, if you're a gambler, you don't like that.
Well,
they drive you nuts. But, you know, that's why they call it gambling.
That's right. That's right. It's not a sure thing. At some point, you better watch out because you're going to lose your money.
We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post-game show. We want to thank the good people at Map Construction, Map Built, Build Beyond. Also, too, we at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Got great food and drink specials. Stop on by. Hey, if you don't want to do no cooking, and even if you want catering, which Acme does a lot of, if it's special events, holidays, they handle it right here at Acme. We'll be back with more of our post-game show right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post-game show. Mike D'Attilio along with the legendary Herb Tyler here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road in Baton Rouge. Got a lot of great food and drink specials. Come on by and get you great food, some drinks, maybe two of them. Because if you're a big LSU fan.
Or if you're Ubering three or four.
Oh, if you're Ubering, yeah. Or designated driver, the best way to put it. I got a text from a friend of mine, Barry, and he says, Mike, you know, Brian Kelly, he came in and he said, you used that term. He was a carnivore of bringing in offensive linemen. It was like a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
And he's here now at LSU.
And you can't do it.
And you can't run the ball. And you think about those teams at Notre Dame. They weren't great passing teams.
Nope.
But they were really good running the football, physical group. Kind of what's happened. Maybe you and Herb can chime on that. I don't quite understand how you can change personalities that quickly when you had so much success. And like he said, there was a conveyor belt of offensive linemen, something I've said before. And yet here, it's not been the case. I know four offensive linemen got picked last year, but that really wasn't a good run-blocking unit last year for LSU.
One of the things that I was really excited about when Brian Kelly was first announced that he was going to be the head coach was the fact that I knew for a fact that he would be able to recruit linemen and tight ends.
Well, he's done
a great job of
recruiting.
The development of it is something too different. So, you know, it's so difficult to put a finger on it, because they have the ability, they have the talent, they have the size. Is it the type of offensive personality that we want to be, or is it the fact that we don't really push the run game as a whole when it comes to the offense? Or is it just sheer fact that they don't know how to coach them or don't know how to get them to progress? or can the guys not just pick it up? At the end of the day, I think it's a combination of all of those things. Now, which one is the most important one? The one that's most important is the fact that I think that they just need to be able to get technique down pat and be able to push people around a little bit, which I see them struggle with the most, which is the technique-wise, and not being able to, you know, get defenders' shoulders turned to where they can get them off balance and make stuff happen and push them around a little bit. They weren't, as of last week, well, prior to last week, they weren't firing off the football and run blocking. Now they're trying to do the same thing. I saw too many times where the offensive lineman was looking the wrong way, looking behind them, and that means that the guys were already past them and they're trying to push them further past them, which doesn't work in the run game. So it's so many different things that is a reason why, but no one knows exactly why.
Randy sends a text about, Mike, before the season, you had Greg Cosell on from NFL Films, and both you guys talked about the potential, and you always said potential means nothing. It just means potential. Of Chris Hilton, where was he today? I don't think he caught a pass. He was not even targeted today.
No.
And part of that, too, last week, he is wide open. Okay, the ball hit him in a bad place.
Right in the hands.
And he drops it. And now so basically what he's saying is he in the doghouse with Brian Kelly? I would think so. When you don't have one target go your way, and you're supposed to be a big part of this offense.
Yeah, you're supposed to be, but you haven't shown that you are and that you're worthy of it. Everybody else that they've brought in has shown that they can make the big plays and that they can make the play count when it happens. And so, yeah, you know, saying that somebody's in a doghouse is one thing. You can clearly see it when they're not playing and actually, you know, actually on the field. But when they're on the field, sometimes maybe the ball just doesn't go your way, right? Maybe you're covered. Maybe it's a defense dictating to the quarterback where the ball goes, that kind of stuff. But ultimately, I think that Chris Hilton – is just not making plays. And I think that's not – I don't know if it's a doghouse thing or if it's – whatever it is, he's just got to make plays. Because I don't know if he – you know, the target – you know, him being targeted, every time we see him being targeted, it's a deep pass. We don't ever see him throwing screen plays to him. They don't, because he is fast. He should be able to catch the ball, get upfield, run. We never see him running digs. We don't see him running, you know, comebacks and – out route. We don't see none of that in our passing game. And so I think that's a part that really where I see LSU struggling when it comes to the offensive identity.
Art from Homa asked, do you think the difference in this game was not having Whit Weeks? I would say I don't know how big of an impact Whit would have had in this game. And he's a playmaker on defense. But would the outcome have changed? I don't see that.
I don't think the outcome.
And I'm a big fan of Whit Weeks, yeah. But I don't think the outcome changes if Whit Weeks is on the field or not.
And look, maybe it did, maybe it would, maybe it wouldn't. Who knows? We'll never know. But I can say this: I do know that the energy that they would be bringing would have been different. I think they would have a little bit more fire underneath them to play better, because he's just a guy that's just a high motor. It doesn't matter what time, where it is, whatever. He's just going to be ready to go because he enjoys it so much. I think that part would have changed, but that don't mean that, you know, what we were trying to do in order to stop Vanderbilt would have come to fruition. I don't know if that means we stopped him. Because Pavia was an X factor. The plays that he made that were really impactful were outside of the scheme of the actual play.
Off script.
It was off script. Yeah. It was just that. That's what it is. And so you can't predict that. You know, it's hard to stop that, let's say that.
Art also wanted to know about what was the problem. LSU had difficulties. Y'all talked in pregame about Eli Stowers, and he was an impact player.
He was impactful.
But also, they play a lot of 12 personnel with two tight ends. The other tight end,
he was impactful.
He was impactful also. They didn't have a matchup for either one, to be honest with you.
No, and you know, the thing about it, too, is you have Keys, who was trying to cover him, or Key, who was trying to cover him during that particular this game or whatnot, where Weeks would have been there covering him. So maybe that would have made a little bit of a difference. But look, Stowers is a beast. He's a guy.
He's going to be a next level player.
He's definitely a next level. And then the other guy who's 6'7" is I think will be a next level player. He made some great catches that were not perfect passes. And here, that's the thing.
And Cole Spence, okay, he's 6'7".
Yes.
Why wouldn't you throw him the football? It's like Trey Dez.
Yes.
You got to keep pumping it to him because there is a matchup mismatch there. Now, he was targeted 5 times, 5 catches. Eli Stowers, 5 targets, 3 catches. So between the two tight ends, eight catches.
Yeah.
Now, they're not known as a team to really throw the football or not, but all I know this, they completed 14 passes and 8 of them went to the tight end.
8 of them went to the – well, that's half the passes went to the tight end. But at the end of the day, those 18 – you know, those 14 pass attempts went to the right people where they were supposed to go to. I don't know how many attempts he had. I think he probably had 21 attempts or something like that. Well, out of those other 7 attempts, there were still probably 6 or 5 of them were positive run plays by Pavia. So, because they were off script. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, those, when you have tight end combination like Spence and
Stowers,
you got to be able to utilize it, especially with the type of game that your quarterback plays.
Now, you played on a team that had 2 guys that went on to play in the NFL.
Yep.
David LaFleur is one.
And Nicky Savoie.
And Nicky Savoie, man, I saw Nicky. Nicky's from my neck of the woods. Nicky played quarterback at South LaFleur. Then he went to JUCO, and then moved him over to tight end. Man, Nicky, he was a big dude. You can't miss him downfield. And LaFleur was bigger than Nicky.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, and we utilized that all the time. Now, we did, you know, play action and boots and things like that. We also did some you know, tight end down the seams and stuff like that. But a lot of times those guys were crossing or they were doing some sort of a flag route or some sort of a you know, like a stop route, if you will, with the dodge route. We call it a dodge route where you have different options. And they were phenomenal at it. But the thing about that, though, is their catch radius is so wide, their body frames are so big that it's just like playing basketball. How you box somebody out and you put the ball wherever side you need to put it so they can get it and they can just corral that ball and nobody can get it out. And then these guys could run too, just like these other guys we have
exactly.
These days.
Now it goes to show we're getting older. LaFleur's son.
Yeah,
he's a freshman on the football team at LSU.
He's definitely a freshman on the football. Ben Bordelon's sons are playing for LSU as well. So we're getting old.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well,
old.
We're gonna let Luke speak for himself. He's getting old.
Luke, man, come on, Luke don't want to admit that he's getting old. He's getting younger. He swear. That's what he say. At least that's what he tell me.
That's what he said.
Yeah, we'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post game show. We're right here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. In Baton Rouge, Mike Dettillo along with Herb Tyler on until 6 o'clock tonight. We'll be back with more post-game analysis right after this break. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger post-game show. LSU 31-24 takes it on the chin in Nashville. Man, it looked like a home field advantage for the Tigers.
It did.
But, again, that didn't do a lot of good.
It didn't help the outcome.
Because Pavia, man, he made some big plays. And just LSU with numerous opportunities, especially late, that could have put something together, get this game within reason. And it just didn't happen for him. And I think disappointment. And you can hear it in everybody's, if it's text, calls, whatever.
Yes.
Upset that it's the missed opportunities in this game against a team that, come on, player for player, you got better talent than
well,
that.
Well, look, at the end of the day, the disappointment of those last 2 drives, I think, was it because the defense gave you the opportunity.
You're right.
Gave you the shot, and you go out there and you squander it away by going 3-and-out. And it just didn't sit well the way it ended. Had they been going, it was attempting on that final drive to at least tie the game up, or something, and it didn't work out, fine. At least we tried. But it's like it was almost like we didn't even try. It's almost like we didn't even have the opportunity. What was the point of it? And it's like, in my mind, I'm like, it's 4th down. Don't punt.
You got to go for it at that stage.
I mean, I don't care. At this, I understand what the stat, with the, you know, with the percentages of you making the 1st down on 4th and 12 or whatever it was, 4th and 9. But you show me something. Give me a little spark. Give me a little something, something that says that I have confidence in this group of guys that's on this football field.
And the one thing with Clark Lee, he does know that you got to play this team again. So late, when he had a chance, he could have scored another touchdown. Man, yeah. Take the knee, run the clock out. Let's get out of here. We got the win.
Yep.
It's all over with. But I think you could hear it in the back of his mind say, hey, man, eventually they could kind of lay it on me pretty good, too.
Hey, look, he's a better coach than I am because I would have scored a touchdown.
Me, too.
me also. Regardless about next year, I'll either we're going to be ready or we ain't going to be ready next year. But this year, we're ready, so I'm going to let you know.
And in a crazy game with about 5 minutes left, Georgia 40, Ole Miss 35. Georgia has the football, and man, Herb, you talk about a nutty game. It is that in Athens, Georgia, they had lost that game to Alabama.
Yep.
After it's over a 30-game winning streak.
Yep.
That they had in Athens. I didn't think they would lose a second game, but also didn't think it'd be this type of game.
No,
to be honest with you.
No. This is look. You got two really good teams going at each other right now. I'm really surprised that that Georgia's playing as well as they are on offense, because I didn't think that they had the moxie or the ability to play, you know, run, score touchdown against the Ole Miss. But they're proving me wrong. And the one thing, like we talked about in the past with Georgia, they've been defense heavy, and they don't have that this year. So they got to rely on hopefully scoring some points, touchdowns, and then making a stop here and there.
Okay, Stockton isn't conventional, okay? Come on, what he is, 5'10 and a half, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
In that range. Same as Pave. Come on. They list him at 6 foot tall, and he comes to the Manning passing academy. I don't think he's 5'11. I think he's more along that 5'9 and three quarters, 5'10 range. He's a lot closer to that than he is to six foot.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you that. But, man, Stockton's made some huge plays for Georgia, and that was a guy you weren't quite sure about after you watched him late last year. But you know what? He's also got that one trait about him. He's a winner. And Carson Beck, you want to go somewhere else? Okay. We know you got talent. Now, between the ears sometime with Carson, and we saw it last night, with some opportunities, and he's trying to throw the football downfield. You're running the ball, and he's trying to hit the deep throw
right.
Time after time after time. What it was, three interceptions last night, and they had opportunities too.
They did.
But you got to give Louisville credit. Man, and can David Bell play that receiver?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, he balled out.
A big man receiver from Mississippi.
He can move.
Mississippi guy. He's a three-star recruit. He's from Yazoo City, Mississippi, transferred his final season and ends up at Louisville. But, man, you talk about a big play, big wide receiver with speed. Man, he's that. And he won't have to sleep long on round one.
No,
he ain't going to be a top 20 pick
in the
draft.
That's right. And you know, the thing about last night, or you know, the game with Louisville and Miami was, everybody was waiting on Carson Beck to have that game because they just couldn't believe that he was a much better player than he was last year, right? They was waiting on him to have that game, and he had that game. So now that's over with. So he's got it out. What do you do now, Carson? Now, Carson is one of those older guys that's still playing, and I think he can get through this and get past and get over it. Miami still has got a lot of football in front of him, and they have opportunity to do something special this year. They have a good team. They just ran up against a team in Louisville last night that was just a little bit better than them.
They stuck their finger, and, man, they got cut.
That's it. And sometimes that happens.
And Moss, I think about his journey. He was a third-string quarterback at USC.
Yep.
And Caleb Williams, man, I'm out. I'm going out early for the NFL draft.
Yep.
He plays in the bowl game. He throws 5 touchdown passes in the game. But then last year, it sort of fell apart with him, and I'm out, goes to Louisville with Brom, and look what he pulled off last night.
Yeah, he pulled off a good one. Now, look, you know one thing that Lincoln Riley is going to do is recruit really good quarterbacks. You know that. You know he has an eye for that. And so whatever happened last year with Moss at USC is just what it is. You have a new, fresh opportunity in that transfer portal, which is why I like it so much, is because you get an opportunity to start fresh and do something different somewhere else that may be a perfect fit for you versus what you thought was the right fit.
And we've seen it, you know, all across college football.
Time and time again.
That, you know, it doesn't work out in one place, but it works out somewhere else for you, another place. And look at Mendoza.
Yep.
No, Bob and I talked about that a lot. We watched him at Cal. He was bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't a good passer. He was not a rhythm-type thrower. He was sort of all over the board. He goes to Indiana and click, 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 click. Everything falls in space for him.
Well, you know, it's how do you utilize the player's strength, right? And, you know, it's so many times where coaches want players to fit into their system. I think what Indiana's doing is allowing their system to fit with inside of Mendoza. And so he can be the player that he is becoming and what he is doing right now.
And even Texas Tech, look what they did in the portal.
Yep.
You know, and Cody Campbell has spent a lot of money now.
Yep.
They getting kind of chinned around today. 16-7 against Arizona State. And, man, again, if you don't bring it now – they're playing a backup quarterback. Yep. I get that. They got some injuries on the offensive side to football. But Arizona State is what? Hey, man, yeah. Come on. We done read all this stuff about how good you are and all the money you spent. Man, that don't mean nothing to us unless you fixing on getting us a cut of that money. Then that's another story. But I do think we are seeing the new era of college football,
yes, right,
where a money guy like Cody Campbell, who's, I think, worth like $8 billion, man, I'll give you $40 or $50 million a year. What that's to me?
Right.
A couple hundred dollars?
Yeah.
You know, I'll give it to you, but you better win.
That's right.
You better win with it. And every defensive player on that team – transfer portal guy.
Everyone.
That's a starter. That's amazing to me. And you think about if you retire in life.
Yeah.
Do you want to go retire to Lubbock, Texas?
No. No.
No. Again.
I don't want to go play a football game in Lubbock, Texas much of the time. Yeah.
Well, Arizona State is, man, we'll play you anytime.
That's right.
But once you get a little bit of the big head and people patting you on the back, then you become a huge target for everyone.
Yeah.
Everybody's after you at that stage of the game. And so that's what really makes it difficult. And now with the longer schedules and the traditional rivalries aren't the same anymore, man, what the hell does Arizona State and Texas Tech have in common? You know, to be in the same conference.
And then the other thing to that is you're so hard and difficult to play up to that same standard and level of excellence every play, every game. That's really, really difficult. I don't care who you are, to sustain a certain level of championship football playing is very, very difficult. And that's something Nick Saban would talk about a lot. It's like, the most difficult thing is to keep those guys up to that level of play, period. That's hard.
And I hear it all the time. Nick's going to come out of retirement. If I'm Nick,
ain't
no way in the world.
Mm-mm.
Okay, because, okay, you bringing in and you got all this stuff around you.
Right.
That, you know, you're going to soothe every problem in the world. You lose a game, man, you're an old man now.
Well, look, Ms. Terry said this morning, she said, I ain't seen a number yet. She said, I don't see a number yet. So, and I don't think there is a number. They're having too much fun. He's enjoying life way too much. He don't need to coach anymore.
You have made your legacy
in
life. Your
impact is done. It's done. That's it.
And, you know, a lot of times, you know, they say it about players. It's better maybe to get rid of them a year early than a year late.
Yep.
Maybe for Nick, he does have some coaching left in him.
Maybe.
But why would I get back and see all the chaos that's around college football today? I wouldn't want to be a part of it to be a coach.
Look, Bill Belichick should have did the same thing.
Exactly.
Just rode off in the sunset. Or he could have been a consultant. He could be doing, you know, anything. He doesn't need to be coaching. But if that's what he wants to do, that's fine. I'm not saying that he shouldn't. However, at the end of the day, is the North Carolina deal going to put a stain on Coach Belichick's history? and maybe a little blemish, but not much in the reality of what it is, right? Same thing with Coach Saban. There's no reason for him to come out of retirement to go coach somewhere for no reason. There's no amount of money. There's no nothing, because he don't like the way that college football is today from the standpoint of where he would be standing at as a head coach. He don't want that. He's coached too long on such a high level with it being money under the table.
Coach Otez is all the time about, he's got three sons that coach in college football today. Yep. And he was like, hey, you better adjust. And he said, if I come back, I'm going to have to adjust.
Yes.
Okay, college football is not adjusting to me. I got to adjust to college football. And that's what it is when you get a certain age.
That's
Coach
right.
O's 64 years old. He's not a young man in this business. And he understands you have to adjust
yes.
to what is in front of you.
Yes.
We'll be back to finish it off here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Post Game Show. Hey, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Bill, Bill Beyond. Also, Acme Oyster House. Hey, come on by. 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Got great food and drink specials. We're going to finish it off right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Post Game Show.
Yep.
Vanderbilt with a 31-24 win over the LSU Tigers. Want to thank everyone who listened early this morning for Herb and I on our pregame show, 7 to 9. And it's been wall-to-wall coverage from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Also, our kind of point after show going over everything. It is about over in Athens, Georgia, and the Georgia Bulldogs will beat the unbeaten Ole Miss Rebels 43-35. Ole Miss had an opportunity, just could not get a first down. They were four and out, all over with now. And Georgia, winning in Athens. How surprised. And I knew, Herb, I told you this morning, there ain't no way they're losing two games in a row.
No, not
at
Athens.
Home. That's not happening. I know Ole Miss has played well. Chambliss played really well today.
Should be in the Heisman candidate to talk to.
But that was a really, really close game. And, man, Lane Kiffin's had some issues going up against Kirby.
He has issues going up against anybody that has any sort of offense, because he can't stop nobody.
Yeah, and my buddy just sent me that text. Hey, I told you, no lead is safe with that Ole Miss defense and Lane Kiffin. No. It's gotten better throughout the years. It really, really has.
Yes.
But Georgia with a 43-35 victory over Ole Miss. Herb, great to see you today.
Yes, sir,
and
as
the
always,
man, great
baby.
Working to you.
Yes, sir.
We'll be back next week with our Tiger Tailgate Show, and we'll be back at Acme Oyster House, 3535. Perkins Road, for our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgate, 2 o'clock next Saturday. Thank you for listening.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. at least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.